Do you know why we don't have a high view of sin? Because we have a low view of God. We haven't visited him lately in his holy temple.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why the incredible gift of salvation may not seem as amazing as it once did.
And we have gotten comfortable, all of us, in an age that has devalued God's standard and so has made acceptable that which he hates.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. There are thousands of self-help books on the market, each one claiming to show you how to accomplish your goal or solve a problem on your own. But sin is a problem that only one book can help you solve. And Dr. Evans will take us there today as he begins a new series called Our Great Salvation. Let's join him.
That I thought it would be good if we spent time understanding our salvation. Our great salvation. The author of Hebrews puts it this way. How can we neglect so great a salvation? This salvation that we have is beyond words. And yet God has given us a number of words to help us understand it. Great words like justification and propitiation and redemption and reconciliation and forgiveness and all of these words that are replete with depth and meaning and significance. But the word we must use to start it off is a negative word. But it's because of this word, all the other words are needed. And it is the word sin. Because that word sin gives us the need for salvation in the first place. That we need a great salvation. We need a great solution because we have a great problem. First of all, the concept of sin. What does this word mean? To say that you have sinned is to say what? Well, the first thing you and I have to understand is sin has only any real significant meaning when it is measured and defined against the standard of God. Leviticus 19:2 says that God is the standard by which sin is measured. Be ye holy, it says, for I am holy. In other words, God says, I am the standard by which you measure whether something is sinful. Habakkuk 3:16. He says, when he saw God, he trembled, his lips quivered, and his bones shook. Being in the presence of God, that was Isaiah's experience. When he saw the holiness of God, he said what? Woe is me. Do you know why we don't have a high view of sin? Because we have a low view of God. We haven't visited him lately in his holy temple. Because when you go to where God is, you don't feel so good about yourself anymore. And we have gotten comfortable, all of us, in an age that has devalued God's standard and so has made acceptable that which he hates. David understood this when he said in Psalm 51, verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned. He understood that the standard by which sin was measured is God. How perfect is God? 1 John 1, 5 says, in him is no darkness at all. So he is absolute perfection in every detail. Some theologians call the holiness of God his controlling attribute. That is, all the other attributes are referenced from that. He is holy in everything about himself and therefore totally set apart from sin. A formal definition of sin is given to us in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 3, he says in verse 4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. So then, what is sin? Here it is. Sin is anything in the creature that is contrary to the Creator. Sin is anything in the creature, the created world, and in this case, created people that is unlike or in contrast or in contradiction to their creator. Augustine said it this way: sin is believing that you're self-centered, self-dependent, and self-sustained. You know you're getting deeper in sin the deeper you get in independence. The less you need God, the more sinful you have become. Because the less you need God, the more the creature is functioning independently of the creator. Sin is when we fail to reflect God's character and when we fail to obey God's rules. All have sinned, Romans 3:23 says, and have fallen short of the what? Glory of God. God says, I am the standard. All fall short of that standard. Now, you may be a nicer person than me, and I may be a nicer person than you, but when God is the standard, we all come up short. All have sinned and fallen short of perfection because in him is no sin at all. Different standards. And so sin is when the creature is contrary to the creator. And that is manifested in independence. What is the cause of sin? Where does sin find its root? Well, that takes us all the way back to the rebellion of Satan. Satan's rebellion is described for us in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. In Ezekiel 28, over and over again, he's told he was created. 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 In Isaiah 14, beginning with verse 12, Lucifer begins to assert his independence five times by using the words, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, what we call negative volition. He set forth his will. The only problem was his will was independent of God's will. When you put these two together, you understand that at the heart of sin is pride. When Lucifer decided that he no longer wanted to be a creature, he wanted to be equal to the creator. I will be like the Most High, is what he said. He sinned. Pride welled up in his heart because he forgot, here's what he forgot, folks, he forgot he was created. In order to be created, you must have a creator. So whenever the created forgets that it is dependent upon the creator, that's pride. Because you assert your independence. Let me explain something. Without the creator, you could not be created. Without the creator, you could not enjoy any of the things you enjoy while being created. If the creator who created you decided no more oxygen would be available, the created would not enjoy acting like they're the creator because you could not sustain life. Everything you eat is borrowed from something the creator made. Whether animal or plant or vegetation, it is when the created thinks that they are like the creator, which was the sin of Satan, that we have the problem. And that's why 1 Timothy 3:6 says that Satan was conceited, and he warns us, watch out that you don't be like him, thinking more of yourself. And it's quite a description given of Lucifer in the Bible. It says that he had pipes. That means He could sing. He had pipes, okay? It says he was beautiful of all God's created beings. He was gorgeous to look at. It says he was privileged. He was the anointed cherub. He had a high rank. So he had some status. But he forgot he was created. And if the Creator can create it, the Creator can get rid of it. All right? So, independence. That spread among the angels because sin spreads. So that a whole host of angels decided to function independently of God. Genesis 3 shows us the entrance of sin into the human race. Look at that very briefly with me as we continue with the cause of sin rooted in the pride of independence. Verse 16 of chapter 2 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in the day you eat from it, you shall surely die." Now here's the question that everybody wants to know. Why would God put the tree there in the first place? Why would he tempt them that way? Right? Let me explain. God always must erect negatives. Don't misunderstand me. Most of it's not negative. In fact, they're only told that they can't have what? One tree. I don't know how many trees are in the garden, but let's just pick a number for the sake of discussion. Let's say there are 100 trees in the garden. Now, guess what that means? That means that 99 trees they can have a ball with. What does Satan come and focus on? The one thing they can't do. Now, why did God put a tree in the midst of the garden? Here's why God will put negatives. He will put negatives in our lives and in our circumstances for one simple reason: to remind us we are creatures. And we can't do whatever we want, whenever we want it, because we are created. The tree was to remind them of their creatureliness, that there are limitations. That's why he put it there. That's why God puts restrictions on us, to remind us we are creatures, not creators. So he places limitations.
But those reminders didn't work. And Dr. Evans will tell us about that part of the story when he comes back in a moment to continue this first message in his series, Our Great Salvation. It's a 12-lesson collection that will take you through key terms describing what happened when Jesus died for us on the cross. Words you've probably heard but maybe didn't understand, like propitiation, atonement, regeneration, election, sanctification, and more. And right now, for a short time, we'll send you this complete 2-volume set as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. And if we hear from you right away, we'll include a special bonus, Tony's devotional journal book, God's Got It, full of inspirational content to study with plenty of room to write down your own thoughts and experiences. So visit us today at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222 to take advantage of this special combo offer before time runs out. I'll repeat that contact information for you in a moment, but first, this.
As you've listened to Tony Evans preach, have you ever wanted to take a peek at his notes or follow along as he researched the concepts and content he was sharing? Well, now you can with the help of the Tony Evans Commentary. You get a background-rich introduction to each book of the Bible, followed by passage-by-passage exposition that transforms ideas into understanding. Tony Evans has taken a lifetime of insights and illustrations and packed them into this powerful new tool you'll want to have with you every time you study God's Word. The Tony Evans Commentary, available now at tonyevans.org.
The Tony Evans Commentary is brand new. In fact, it was just released today. Be among the first to get your copy and see how it lights a fire under your Bible study time. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where someone on our resource team is available to help you day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson. Let's join him.
Satan comes in chapter 3 and questions God and gets them to question God. He says, "Indeed hath God said in verse 1, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." She answers, he says, "You shall not surely die. There will be no consequence," verse 4. God is jealous, verse 5. He knows in the day when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Please notice what he offers them. He offers them erasing the creature-creator distinction. You can be like him. In other words, there doesn't have to be a difference. There does not have to be this line, God up here and you here. At the heart of sin, no matter how it's expressed, is erasing the line that says, he's the creator, I am the creature. According to verse 6, they sinned. Eve sinned first, not wanting to go down alone. She got Adam to sin. And by the way, you never join your mate in their sin. I don't care how much you love them. Adam was viewed by God as the covenantal representative of the human race. When Adam and Eve were placed here, they were not just placed here as one man and one woman. They were placed here as the first couple who would represent all other beings who would ever be born. So when they sinned, the effect of what they did affected all who would come after them. Now, the immediate feeling is that's not fair. Well, you know, in a football game, when one player jumps offside, the whole team is moved back 5 yards, 10 yards, 15 yards, depending on what the penalty is. Do you ever see the other players running around saying, you can't make me move back 5, 10, and 15 yards because I'm not the one who did it. He did it. But you are one team. And even though one jumped offside, because you're one unit, you're tied together by this one relationship, the whole team is moved back. Adam's sin was done as head of the human race. So the fallout of his decision is a representative fallout because he was a representative. Now, he's a better representative than you and I are. You know why? Because he was created perfectly in a perfect environment. Satan with us wouldn't need to have to use the serpent. He could have just come to us with the horns. All right? Because Adam was created perfectly, so he didn't even have the mess that you and I have to deal with in our spiritual battle. So sin was charged to the account of the human race. Now watch this. When sin was imputed to the human race because of Adam's and Eve's submission to Satan, it was, catch this, inherited by their offspring. We inherit a sin nature. We call this original sin. That is, the character of sin that was transferred from Adam to his offspring and every offspring since then. You have a combination in your human makeup of the genes of your mother and father. But mom and dad passed something else on to you that they got from their parents, that they got from their parents, that came all the way from Adam. They transferred a spiritual gene called the sin nature. That is, they pass on to you this capacity to rebel against God. It is built in. It is imputed to the race, so it is inherited through the birth process. Now, another theological word that relates to this inheritance, it's called depravity. Turn to Ephesians 2, scripture you know well. And you were, verse 1 of Ephesians 2 says, dead in your trespasses and sins. When we talk about the depravity of man, what we're saying is every facet of man's nature has been polluted, defiled, and contaminated by sin. It's inborn corruption. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart, referring to the essence of this nature, is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? He is referring to this capacity that all men have to function in rebellion against God. When a person gets AIDS and they have contaminated blood, you will know that it doesn't take a lot to contaminate somebody else's blood. In fact, just a prick of a needle. A little iota amount of blood on the tip of a needle can contaminate another person. Why? Because the virus infects the totality of the bloodstream of the individual in which it is located. And it can be passed on. So it is. The Bible declares spiritually we are dead and we are contaminated. And he says at the end of verse 3, we are by nature children of wrath. Now, have you noticed you never have to educate your children how to sin? Have you had to give your children a course on being selfish successfully? Disobeying? No, we have to teach them how to love. We have to teach them how to share. We have to teach them how to be kind to one another. Stop fighting. We have to do that. Why? Because the other is automatic. The other is already there. It was there while they were growing in your womb. That's what the Bible declares in our depravity. It does not mean we are as bad as we could be, but it means we are corrupt in every part of our being. And we can potentially do anything. And how many people in this room who have ever said, I will never do that, wind up doing it and say, I can't believe that was me? It happened? I can't believe I said that, did that, went there. That's not me. Oh, ho, ho. Yeah, it is. It's you. It just didn't have this level of opportunity to get expressed before. And under the right circumstances, you can do anything anybody else can do. Why? Because you have the same nature. It was an inherited nature.
And there's only one way to deal with that inherited nature. Replace it with a new one. Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to explain how that can happen for you today. Right now, though, I want to remind you about the book I mentioned earlier in the program today, The God's Got It Devotional Journal. It's packed with fresh inspiration and new direction, and it's yours as our gift when you make a contribution toward the work of The Alternative. Along with it, you'll get all 12 CDs in Tony's current two-volume series, Our Great Salvation. But this special double offer won't last long, so call 1-800-800-3222, where someone on our resource team is ready to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or visit TonyEvans.org, the place to go to connect with all of our ministry programs, special events, and resources like the brand new Tony Evans commentary I mentioned earlier. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Well, tomorrow, more from Dr. Evans on the only antidote in the universe for the poison of sin. Right now, though, he's back to talk about how the Lord can make you brand new from the inside out.
If you're not absolutely sure that you have received salvation, that you're on your way to heaven, then let's get that straight right now. God offers you salvation as a free gift because of the sacrifice of his Son. And if you will come to Jesus Christ, acknowledging your need for a Savior because you recognize you're a sinner, recognizing you can't save yourself, and appealing to Jesus to apply his death into your life, he will come in, forgive your sins, and give you eternal life right now. Simply say to the Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. I'm believing in you alone to be my Savior. So I now accept your offer to give me eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. And then thank him for the free salvation he just gave you.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.